Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of No Small Roles, a D&D podcast where there are no small roles, and the whole cast is back together! Yay! I'm David Knight, your Dungeon Master, and I'm joined around the same table by these absolute stunners. Say hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
We're all together.
Ben's sat right there.
Ben's in the country.
I'm touching Ben right now.
Oh, I'm going to touch Ben too.
Really inappropriate, Grace.
Stop it. Was his shoulder.
Of course it was, Grace.
And listener, you're sat in right next to us.
Snuggling. I'm sure you've all got plenty to share with each other. So let's cue the theme tune.
Prepare your party of players and polyhedral dice. Your tragic backstory better be worth the sacrifice. Seize your sheets and D20.
Let's play D&D. Your haggard character swaggers with daggers in each hand. You've all discussed what you must, but even best laid plans. Take a turn when checks are missed.
Roll initiative.
Brandish your blades. Don't fail your saves. No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is your story. No guts, no glory. Confront your fate with every roll.
Inside, one who will pay the price. Their chance of success all rests upon the dice.
No risk too great, no choice too bold. This is No Small Roles.
So, Gwendolyn's surgery is a success, and after she's woken up, the party discuss what they know of the Wilder Queen. When Grove Mother Vanala returns with food, they all play a game of questions, leading to a small experiment of Enkidu drinking holy water to test how demonic he could be. After Gaius persuades the Grove Mother to transport them closer to Garamir Hastan's location, Juno makes soup, Gwendolyn interacts with the Wilder Queen's effigy, and Enkidu joined Vanala in preparing some holy water. Over dinner, Juno shared a story of light and dark, and Vanala told them what she knew of henges, including a tale of the Dancing Maidens of Ash Henge. As the day dawned, Vanala opened a pass to the corrupted area of the Crownswood, and pushing through the mud, you skirted a small lake, at which point, a glowing light across the water signaled the return of the original Abracalad, Orin. As he sploshed into the mud, however, a ripple drifted across the dark surface of the lake. And that's where we pick it up.
And nothing happens.
And it's absolutely fine. So, Orin, you have been in the situation that you've been in.
Yeah.
And you fall ever so slightly. This little portal that's been opened for you is not ground level. So there is a step as you fall backwards into mud, land on your bum, and your hands sort of splash into the edge of that lake.
I will look around and see if I can see anyone.
Yeah, you can. Across the opposite side of the lake is the rest of your party. And flying towards you is Ruana as well.
I will get... They're running towards me.
I'm assuming everyone's starting to make a move.
Yeah, we can tell it's Orin.
We've seen it's Orin, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, we're going to head towards Orin.
Cool. Roll initiative.
What?
No, stop. Damn it. Everyone started speaking.
Whoa.
It's those noises again.
They never come across as strong on the recording.
It's a shame. Right? It's like so ominous.
I do like them. I wish they came across more like...
Da-dum.
I think we should get an extra mic for the table and just have it like on a dice tray. And then we
record
like...
Yeah,
that's what I think we should do.
But we don't have another channel.
No, we don't have any more mic channels. We can't, but the idea is there. Right.
Yeah. Stop teasing us, you audio fiend.
I was also using that as an opportunity to adjust everyone's level slightly.
Clever boy.
All right, 25 to 20.
21.
20.
Juno and Caius swinging in there.
What? What's funny, Chris?
This clever boy comment.
Which now is in the episode.
20 to 15.
Oh dear.
Ooh, okay, 15 to 20. Oh, no, that's the wrong way. 15 to 10.
10.
Grace put her hand up.
I don't know, it just felt right. I'm not touching Ben anymore, I promise.
10 to 0.
8.
6.
Ooh. Ben, let me know if you need to have a chat about anything that's going on around this table.
What about my initiative?
For our listeners, we have an allyship commitment.
There is an allyship commitment.
We are all very comfortable with each other, it should be noted.
Consent has been granted.
So, Orin, as you are sort of picking yourself up out of the mud, dusting yourself off a little bit, and everybody else is starting to make their way around the edge of this lake, again, you've been fairly careful already in moving around it, not to disturb the water, but you do notice... With Orin's salt splash, this ripple, there is some bubbling toward the centre of the lake.
Oh yeah, there's a chocolate bar, Chris. Do you remember? A ripple.
God.
I think Chris is too young for ripples.
No, Chris commented on it at the end of the last episode.
Ripples still exist.
Do you know?
Galaxy ripples.
Yeah. Oh.
It's not that kind of ripple.
Don't litter.
Yeah, take us out of 2005.
Yeah. There's lots of bubbles, and they seem to be growing much bigger in the center of the lake.
Oh, dear.
And then they start moving toward Orin.
Am I aware of them?
Yep, you can see them, especially as you're looking over toward everybody else. Juna, it's your turn first.
Can I tell what is causing the bubbles?
No, it's quite dark water, so it's very difficult to see underneath.
Oh no. What do I do?
It was nice seeing Orin for a time.
Before I got eaten by whatever this is.
Gosh.
Now so I know Orin, how Tharnak feels.
Orin is the only one who is in the water.
Yeah, he's like on the edge of the lake. He's not in the water as such. He's kind of like
splashed. But the bubbles are going towards Orin?
Yep.
In that case, I think it's only fair that I cast Polymorph on him.
Oh!
Oh no, a much better way to make him not in the lake is I'm going to cast Fly on Orin.
Don't you have to touch him to do that?
I don't know.
I've got a sorcery point that I can spend to negate that if I do.
What?
Interesting.
Yes, it is touch, but I will spend the appropriate amount of sorcery points to sort of zap it with a little gust of wind to Orin, so Orin can now fly.
Wow.
Amazing. Yeah, he's roughly like sort of about 50... feet away. I was about to say yards, but I was like, that's not quite the same.
Not a unit of measurement.
Yeah. So it reaches him at the very least. Orin, you feel your feet lift off of the floor.
Ooh.
Not through your own volition. No. Anything else, Juna, as you are running over? Are you running over?
Yeah, as fast as I can.
Yeah. Because of all of the mud, it is difficult terrain, so it's only half of your speed.
Okay, sorry, I was going to cast Fly. No! I'm going to cast Fly at a higher level so I can cast it on both of us.
Oh, yeah, I'll allow that. Absolutely.
Yeah, and then I can get there faster.
Yeah. Cool. In which case, I'll say, with Because it's 60 feet of movement with fly, right?
It is.
Oh, 60 foot. Thank you.
You and Ruana both are like there, floating, flying around Orin. You are right next to him. And it's him. It looks like him.
That sounds disconcerting the way you just said it.
Well, no, it's going to make me insight check him.
Yeah,
can
absolutely.
I do that as
yeah,
a you free action?
Yeah, you can have a quick chat if you want to.
Orin, is that really you?
Yeah, it's me.
Insight check.
Well, yeah, am I rolling? Check. I don't know.
Her hand was on the trigger already.
21.
Yeah, it's all right.
I mean, I believe it because we got Ben back, but
yeah.
I know you've swapped out characters in other campaigns.
I was going to say, it's not like I've never done that. But no, it is Orin. Yeah.
Orin, it's so good to see you. Fly up, get out of the water. There's something bubbly down there. Okay. And there's a galaxy ripple, but don't eat it.
I'll fly up on my turn, all right?
Yeah.
Gaius, it's your turn.
Okay.
I'm going to take a minute, though, because I've rolled really low.
I'm going to cast Major Image.
Ooh.
As a huge albatross flying above where the ripples are, ever so slightly in the opposite direction of where Orin is, in an attempt to, like, whatever is in the water will hopefully see that and go for that rather than go for where Orin is.
Makes sense. Yep.
So, diddly-dee.
Diddly-dee.
Choom. It comes up.
Nice.
And it makes a big, like, squawking sound because it can make noises.
Oh, love it. And then you're running around.
Yeah, I'm running in that direction towards Orin.
Sweet.
Well, so, I mean, he's... Yeah, yeah. I'm running towards Orin.
Cool. So again, yeah, it's difficult terrain, so it's like 15 feet? Can you move 30?
Yeah.
So yeah, you get like 15 feet round. You're about 20 feet off of where Orin and Juna are now kind of floating, with the albatross like a good like 10 feet even further round, just to make sure that they're like...
Cool.
Like distracting everybody.
I'm being aware of where my surroundings are as well, just in case anything else is around.
Yeah. You've stepped over a couple of roots and things. There doesn't seem to be any other creatures as far as you can tell from like the surrounding forest. It feels very quiet and like abandoned, this spot.
Okay.
So, but yeah, you have a quick like awareness. Cool. It's at that point that the creature erupts out of the water. What you all see is 3 serpentine heads launching out and snapping directly at where Orin was. The first head at least does. Another one, having like poked its head up from the water, like snaps out at the albatross. And the third one is going to go for Juna. These serpentine creatures, like, it's got a yellow belly with but black shimmering scales all along its back, and is very, very big.
Oh no.
Level 10 combat, let's go.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we've leveled up.
We leveled up to level 10.
Oh yeah,
10.
Level 10.
I told everyone that. We've leveled up, everyone.
We have
level
now.
10, so that I can level actually 10. Hit you and not feel too scared about you dying. But the first one, goes for where Orin was, having like floated off a little bit. Second one goes for the albatross.
Thank you, Juna.
Sort of like snap, trying to like get purchase, but like getting confused as to why it's not doing that. But the third one goes for Juna.
Ooh.
And that is 19 to hit.
Even with the mage armor that I cast at the end of last episode, that still hits.
That's 4 piercing damage and 5 acid damage as this large snake-like head like clamps onto your leg and like rips down the back of your leg a little bit, and before like you manage to kick it off free.
How many points was that?
So 9 altogether, 4 piercing and 5 acid. It is then Gwendolyn's turn.
So they're about 60 feet away.
Yeah, 55, 60 feet. Yeah, roughly.
Fabulous. Okay. So I'm going to, as I am running, and I'm going to run my full... am I going to run my full movement? Because as I've leveled up, my speed is now 50.
Ooh.
Oh yeah. But 50 would be okay because it's a massive creature, isn't it? I'm going to run 45.
Damn.
And I can move across liquid without falling.
Whoa.
So I'm not gonna.
Excuse me.
Oh, I can move up vertically or across liquid without. Uh-huh. I can run on walls now.
You can vertically. You can run up waterfalls.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you could run up water and you can run up walls.
You walk on water.
Yeah.
But if you stop moving, do you sink? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, don't go running up waterfalls.
Don't go running up waterfalls.
We don't have the rights.
But yeah, I can run on walls. I can run on water.
Monk.
I'm real cool. Yeah. So I'm gonna run 45. And as I'm running, I am going to take out the Rose War fan, and I am going to throw it as though I'm aiming to try and sever one of those heads.
Nice. Make some attacks, please.
Okay.
And how does it work?
Badass description followed by.
That is 23 to hit.
23 does hit, yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Okay, and then it deals 1d4 slashing damage and my martial arts die, which is a d6, and my dex modifier. 11 points of damage.
Very nice.
Tasty.
And it bursts into petals. As it slices into its neck and returns to me.
Nice. It does slice into its neck, but with its thick scales, it doesn't sever a head.
No, but it does look like almost like it's squirting of blood because it's red rose petals at this point.
Yeah.
This is so such it's like
a, yeah.
It's like anime, man.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah. And it does, you know, draw the attention of one of these heads. Like, you know, something sliced it in the neck and it's gone, bleh. I'm like, what is it that got me? You did.
Hello.
Have you got anything else?
Oh, of course I do. Sorry, this is my first time using Rose Warfan in combat.
Oh, yeah.
So I get two attacks, so I can use the Rose Warfan for both of my attacks.
Yeah.
I do it again. Oh, okay. Maybe I'm not as good with this one. This is a... 9
does not hit. So yeah, having you know caught its attention, this like snake-like head like just darts out of the way as it is the fan comes at it again.
How close to it am I?
You're about 10 feet off.
I've only got 5 feet of movement left.
Are you still stood on the water? Or have you like run to a bank?
I'm gonna use my remaining 5 feet to run to the bank.
Cool.
Just because otherwise I don't know what's underneath.
Might not be a good place to be. Even if you can, I walk on it.
Yeah.
Just because you can.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean
you should.
Yeah. I'm not going to attempt an unarmed bonus strike at this time.
Okay.
The image of Gwen punching the Hydra head.
Punch the Hydra. Uh-oh.
Alright, it's your turn.
Okay. I'm gonna shout over to everyone. What is this thing? Do we know what this thing is?
No!
Okay. And then he's gonna tune up his blowtorch, and three rays of fire are gonna shoot out of it. One at each of the heads of this monster, please.
Nice.
With a little bit of scorching ray.
Yep, that's our Orin.
So, first one.
17 hits.
25.
Also hits.
And a 27.
Doesn't hit. Yeah, it hits.
Grace, can I borrow one of your D6s? Mm-hmm. Thank you. So, first one is, this is all going to be fire damage, David. First head. Oh, 3. 7 on the second, and 6 on the third.
Nice.
Sweet.
Three. And then, what am I going to do? How do I play this character?
It's been a while.
What do I do as bonus actions? Oh, I don't do anything. Unless I set up my dragon, which I didn't do. So I will just fly. I can fly 60 foot, can't I? So
you can, yeah.
Can I just fly like 20 foot up in the air?
Yeah.
And a little towards the bank. How long is its necks?
Oh, they look pretty long. You think 20 feet's probably okay?
20 feet's probably out of neck grabby range.
Yeah, unless let's go
20 foot then. Yeah.
Nice. It is Enkidu's turn.
Right. What's separating me from Gwendolyn?
I don't know. I think your relationship is quite difficult.
There's some trust issues there.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Where do we begin?
I think so. You kind of ran 45 feet into the water and then like five back to the bank, right?
Yeah. I kind of went the most direct route.
Yeah.
So I suppose it was across the water.
So yeah, you're probably around 40 feet away, but.
Damn it.
Okay. Yeah, like she's kind of further around the bank.
Yeah, that's fine. Good to have you back, Orin.
Good to be back.
Let's see if I can keep up with what you've experienced. I've hold out my free hand towards the creature and cast Blight.
Ooh. What do I do?
Con saving throw DC 16.
That was a natural 20, making 25 altogether.
Takes half. So I roll 8d8 regardless.
8d8! 8d8!
Yeah. Wow!
Blight! Blighty!
Please don't rename the spell Blighty.
If we just add E at the end of every one, Blighty. It sounds cute.
Fireball-y!
39 points of necrotic damage halved.
39, so 20.
20 points.
Yeah, nice. Still good, man.
Okay.
Still a lot of damage.
Took a lot of damage. I'm going to still keep running towards in Gwendolyn's direction. Bonus action, Hexblade's Curse.
Nice.
And that's my turn.
You probably catch up with roughly where Gaius has gotten to. So yeah, okay. You're sort of squelching through the mud and stuff. Yeah, you probably get about 15 feet around, so you're about 30 feet off.
You know what? Roughly. Before my turn ends, can I reach him in 25 feet?
The Hydra.
Gaius.
Gaius in 15, you can.
I'm going to spend 5 feet of my movement to, like, force my way in front of Gaius. Uh-huh. Bait and switch. So I'm going to roll my superiority die. We've both got an extra 3 to our AC to the next turn.
Ooh.
Oh, very nice.
So that's my superiority die done.
That's cool.
I like it, though, yeah, that you kind of, like, suddenly in protect, like, almost, like, positioning yourself between Gaius and the lake.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. In which case, Juna, it's back up to your turn.
Okay. Juna thinks, oh, I should turn this creature into another creature, and then realises that that's just prolonging the problem. I was like, this is what I'm going to do. This is not what I'm going to do anymore. And I'm going to go very Juna and cast Chromatic Orb, because that's what she does.
Yeah.
Get that orb out.
Can I insight check and make sure it's actually Juna?
And I'm going to do it at second level. Also, I feel that this is a good time to let everyone know that when I went to check my sorcery points, it's only 30 feet, not 60 feet. But as it was already done, I've taken 2 sorcery points off myself. So for people who are listening and going, she can't do that, I know.
What I'm suggesting is you could walk nearer me before you cast it and then cast it. No?
Well, because of the
difficult terrain.
The difficult terrain
we wouldn't get near enough.
I'll accept the extra... The extra sorcery point.
Just in case someone's like, that's cheating.
That's very honest of you. Well done.
Next time I won't do it, but yeah.
Very good.
I have looked into that.
Me and Vicky had a whole written conversation on our notebooks about it.
I couldn't read Ben's handwriting.
It said you could have walked towards me.
Do I know what type of attack seems to be working like well on this thing?
I've done fire.
It didn't seem to like the fire.
Good to know.
Yeah, and it also, I mean, it didn't particularly like the rose fan to the neck either, but...
But fire, it seems to not like it.
You've been in fights where, like, you've tried to hurt something with a fairly normal attack, and it, and like, you know, it's got resistances or whatever. It didn't seem to not be hurt by the rose war fan, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know if I choose fire, it's going to be...
It's pretty safe, yeah.
Good. Okay. Unnatural 20.
Ooh.
Oh, very nice. That hits.
That's the spell attack bonus, right?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You rolled an 11.
Yeah.
Jeez.
David!
What?
Sorry, I just remembered I need to roll an extra D8 and add it to the attack, the damage I did. Add an extra 5. Sorry.
Okay. Why?
I have an arcane firearm.
Oh, yeah, of course you do.
Do you just shoot it?
No. It's part of Orin's,
Artificer build.
Artificer build. So it's part of his kind of, what am I trying to say? Icebreaker's army knife. It's sort of... all part of that kit, so it sort of soups up whatever weapons he's using. It kind of
makes
you meant them.
You literally poured out a gun.
No,
and
sorry.
Shot
the arcane firearm is the name of the ability. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. What? How much damage did Chromatic Orb do?
17
points of damage. Love
and
it.
And I'm going to use my bonus action and
sorcery points, which I know I can do, to do quicken spell to cast, I believe it's shocking grass or green flip. Yeah, shocking grass to give it a little zhuzh.
Nice.
Halls the spells. We're going to get in there and I'm going to have no spells left.
That's exactly what David wants us to do.
Oh, you beautiful boy.
Oh, I rolled really well. So an additional 14 points.
Oh, lush.
And so that, yeah, she like throws the chromatic orb, which is like a little mini fireball that gets it. And then as it goes in, it like does like a little electric shock as it gets there.
Oh, I love it. Amazing. This
And she flies high enough so that it can't get her again.
Yeah, like up to where Orin is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this thing recoils, and the head that's been bleeding since it's been sliced open by Gwendolyn, like is flailing about, and especially being hit with the fire and such, and this little zap at the end, like this one head just like flops down onto the bank.
Oh.
It is Gaius's turn.
Just to be clear in terms of the picture, how big is this lake?
Probably about 100 foot across altogether, but between where you started and where Orin was, it was about sort of 60 feet.
Okay, and how big... it's the heads that are jumping out and getting us, right? There's no, like, tentacles or things like that.
Not that you can see.
Not that we can see. Okay, I've got an idea. Why don't we just leave the lake alone? As in, like, leave, because it's a water-based thing, so, like, if the further we go inland, i.e., like, not in the water, that's going to be keep us safe, right? So should we just bail?
Run away!
Okay, I mean, I don't know what we're doing here.
Which direction were we going to, Gwen?
Towards the mountain, the cave?
The direction she's pointing. Everybody, I think we should go that way.
Okay.
Into the cave.
Okay.
Can we see the cave from where we are?
You can't see the cave from where you were, but you were you knew the direction you were headed in.
Yeah.
Right.
Cool.
I will cast Shatter at third level at the nearest head to me, and the albatross at the same time is going to be like, and like be looking a lot in distress over one of the other heads as well.
Amazing.
So, ding, like a massive shatter. Hits it. It's going to be a con save. 16.
That is a 19 altogether.
Yeah, okay, so I guess it takes half this damage then. Yep, okay, so it's going to be 15 full damage, so that's going to be 7.
7 points of damage.
7 points of damage. Yep, and the albatross is going to... And I'm going to, like, sludge, like, another 15 feet in the direction that Gwen's pointed to.
Are you going to carry on round toward where Orin appeared, or like back the way, the direction you were heading?
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, he can fly, so I'm going to be like, yeah.
I can fly!
We're going to bail the way that
we were heading,
yeah.
Nice. So it's kind of like almost like spreading the gap between everybody anyway, which tactically is a good thing. So the two heads, one of them is going to make an attack at the albatross. Hits
that
it,
is
I
so
assume.
Stupid.
But it, yeah, it's just like
silly monster
flapping about. The other one, how far away are you, Gwendolyn?
About
15 feet, roughly, right?
About 15 feet away, yeah, on the bank.
So yeah, you see, after this first one has sort of snapped out of the albatross, the entire body seems to like just shift in the water to focus on you, and the second head makes an attack toward you, which is a 20, unnatural.
That hits.
That hits. You are... You don't take any damage.
Oh.
Because it... The mouth sort of snatches out at you. And, like, the size of this head just clamps down over the top of you, and you are in its mouth, grappled.
Oh, okay, no. I don't think we're running away now.
Oh!
kill it.
Yeah. You realise, even as it, like, sort of... You see it... You kind of are running back to the bank, turn around, and this head just comes down.
It's like in Hook when the...
When the crocodile falls
comes down.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So even as this thing closes around you, like, you realize there is still a little bit of space, but you are grappled in its closed mouth.
Oh.
Gross.
It is your turn, Gwendolyn's turn.
It is my turn. Okay. So, I'm going to go in with two unarmed attacks. funnily enough, I'm going to punchy punchy. I'm going almost, you know, like for the tonsil. Mm-hmm. Like a
punching
like bag. A punch bag.
Like a punch bag. Like a Rocky with a bit of meat.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to do two attacks. I hit my life. 13.
13 does not hit.
Are you? I mean, she's inside a mouth.
This is the
right?
thing. I think when you're grappled,
it's
because
it's
do you
so
have
much
advantage
saliva
on
is
the attack?
Slippery. I think I should have advantage for being grappled.
Yeah, let me just double check the grappled rules.
Yeah, you do that.
It's not in the rules, but it feels like its AC would be lower in its mouth. He said, angling for a grappling just reduces your speed to zero, and you can't move.
Well, what I will say, it is used to creatures flailing about in its mouth whilst it's trying to eat them. So whilst you are making contact, it doesn't seem to be hurting it at all.
Mm. Also, it's got like a callousy mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been hit too many times
yeah.
in the mouth.
You know, yeah, it's used to crunching down on big things.
Don't make a joke. Whey. Don't make a joke.
Well, my other attack was less than that. Ooh.
Gwen's on the phone in the mouth.
Glenn, now's not the moment.
Be real.
So I'm going to go in with my bonus attack then in that case.
Mm-hmm.
And hope this goes a little bit better. That is a 13 again.
Yeah. No, and again, you are hitting it, but it just doesn't seem to be reacting.
Stupid saliva. Gross. Help.
Can we hear that?
Yep.
Oh no. Right in my
All right, it's your turn.
Oh shoot. I'm just trying to see if I can do anything useful to it. I think I'm going to go up to the head that's holding Gwendolyn, please. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to go up to the head that's holding Gwendolyn, and I'm going to try and shocking grasp the head.
Okay.
To see if that will make it let go.
Is this the first time you've used shocking grasp where it hasn't powered up a creature?
Well, we don't know that it isn't going to power up a creature yet.
Who else is standing in the lake before you use...
I'm doing the head of the creature, in the water.
Okay,
cool.
I don't think anybody else is in the water at the moment as well. We're safe.
June has just done the same spell. It's all good.
Okay, cool. Sorry, that was purely because he was Auricaster's spell.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Wait, this Pokemon's weakness is not that one.
We've been burned by this before.
That's a natural 2 for a 13. I think let's no, we're not having this. Let's flash a genius this to make that into a 18.
An 18.
Wait.
Abracadabra!
It's so good to have
Ben
back.
Turn into an 18.
Come on.
Oh, 5 points of lightning damage.
5 points of lightning damage. It's still good.
Let me mark off my flash of genius.
One of them.
One of my five.
Fuck!
Intelligence 20.
Can you give it away to someone else?
I can use it on someone else. And then I'm going to get away from the creature.
Nice.
Fun though it is to try and help Gwendolyn from up close, I'm going to back up like 10, sort of 15 feet away from it.
Cool. As you do, the one that is not grappling, Gwendolyn, is going to make an opportunity attack.
Well, now here's the question.
Because
it can't take reactions until the start of its next turn. Is it all one creature?
It does have multiple reactions.
Oh, man.
But it can't take reactions, is the wording of this. On a hit, the target takes blah, blah, blah damage, and it can't take reactions until the start of its next turn.
Roll a d20 for me.
That's the answer to semantics.
Nine.
Nine. Then, no, the second head...
You're getting slapped, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the second head's coming in. It might not hit you.
Slapped out.
I mean, that's a 17 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
Okay.
Oh, what a fun fight.
Right.
We're all going to die.
So that's 7 points of piercing damage and 5 points of acid damage as this, as you're like sort of dancing between its teeth. This other like mouth suddenly snaps away from the albatross towards you.
What?
Scratches you up a bit, but you manage to fly out of its mouth. It is Enkidu's turn.
I'm going in. Send support. He tosses Light's short sword into his left hand, pulls out the scimitar with his right, and he runs in towards the head that's took Gwendolyn.
Someone is writing fan fiction about this somewhere.
Yeah, I can hear the scene of fans now.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's gonna just slash the scimitar, not the short sword.
Uh-huh.
Two attacks, thirsting strike. Okay, that is a I think it is 25 to hit.
Oh.
Say it with me.
I think it's more.
Where have all the good men gone? Where are the
guys? Okay.
We need a key do.
Yay!
25. So with that attack, that the first attack that comes in, so that's 11 points for the first attack.
11 points for the first attack. Lush.
David, in the spirit of Vicky's honesty, I can't use Flash of Genius on attacks. I've just looked it up. So I'm going to undo that. And that was only a 13 hit, so I imagine it missed.
Yeah, that would have missed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that reaction then did happen.
The reaction happened regardless, because I missed.
Although, if it's the same one that I hit with Shock and Grasp, it can't take reactions until his next turn. All is right with the world again.
All is right. It all works itself out.
You can add your damage back on it. And I need to remember to roll the 1d8 when I hit.
It's been a while. Okay.
Also, it was really lovely watching Ben bubble under and realise that and then go, oh, do I say something? Oh, wait for a gap.
Yeah.
David.
It's all good. What was that? What's your damage?
Second attack is a dirty 20.
Sweet, that hits.
Nice. Mm.
Yeah, so 7 plus 4 is 11.
Another 11 points of damage.
Cool. It's going to action surge and go again. Another two hits of the scimitar.
Good old fire.
Multi-class.
That is a 19.
Nice.
So that is a crit with a Hexblade's Curse. Yes. So it's 14. But as that strike goes through, the blade starts glowing. Like black and red flowing energy. And it turns into an Eldritch Smite. Like, let's kill this thing now. Eldritch Smite. That's 1d8 force damage plus 1d8 per level of the spell slot. So that is 4d8 because it's level 4.
I can't wait for Gwen to hold this over again.
This is a crit. This is a crit, right?
This is a crit.
Double.
Okay, cool.
Roll and then double the number.
And may I have an extra d8, please?
Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
I think you've got enough.
Nah, thank you.
I want to know this number.
So, all the math together, I do 44 points of force damage.
Ooh,
nice.
And the Hydra is knocked prone.
Oh. Wow. Do not get on the wrong side of Enki.
Yeah, I'll say more than it just being knocked prone, as you like run forward and like you do that first slash, you almost take a leap with the second.
Yeah.
And just slice the head off to the point that Gwendolyn, as you're like beating up this tonsil, suddenly that tonsil is not there. And there is a hole above you.
Yeah.
As you just could see the sky again, and the rest of the snake's head falls apart. Both jaw on either side of you just kind of like collapses.
Amazing.
And Enkidu has stood there.
Enkidu, you saved my life.
I'm not done yet.
This is what we've all been waiting for.
Is this thing still alive, David?
There's one head definitely left.
I've still got one more attack because of action surge.
Do it.
I'm going to go after it with the scimitar.
Finish it.
Natural 20. Yeah. You can see that right here. Let's go.
Do you know what? I was about to say something about our distance or whatever, but I'm like, no, you run along the neck of that other one and you are just like there, like leaping across the water.
That's a 6 on the die. So that's doubled.
That's doubled to a 12.
Plus 4 for charisma and 4 for Hexblade's Curse.
Up to 20.
Yeah, so that's 20 damage on that. I'm out of spell slots. So as I'm like breathing hard, like, and I lift up Light's short sword in my other hand, bonus action to weapon fighting, just a regular attack with the sword.
Go for it.
I rolled a 19.
To attack,
and then 6 damage. Points of magic damage.
6 points.
And that's my turn.
Finally. Was a huge amount of damage from Enkidu there.
Enkidu has finished that thing off.
Yeah,
is this
again,
the first time we've fought since you've been a fighter? Or are you just way more powerful?
I think I've never used Eldritch Smite. And this is I think it's the first fight I've been since Fighter, and I've taken 2 levels in it.
It's very cool.
That's why you get action surge.
And we'll even say, because you had like double natural 20 in that as well, that this whole little arc that you like run is like running along
along the mud, kill that first head, run along its neck, leap, slash the second, and whilst that's still up, like, you'd land on the mud to the other side, almost like under Orin and where Juna are flying. So, like, you're, like, over on the other side of it all, having just, like almost, like, parkoured along these, like, snake-like heads.
Sweet.
Yes.
Slashing your way along it.
Cool. I've missed you all.
Miss you too.
Juna, can you follow that?
No. So the heads are gone, right?
Two of them.
There's one.
So there's, yeah, two heads are down, and one head is looking very damaged, but is still snapping away.
We're still flying away, yes?
What? Guy turns around. Oh! Nah, smoke that bad boy.
In that case, she's going to do Word of Radiance.
Yes.
She's going to go a very different direction to Enkidu. And she is going to say, "Bully!" and cast Word of Radiance.
The worst insult she knows.
You big old bully, you.
You plopper.
Oh, it's not good.
Flower plucker.
Oh, yeah, yeah, retcon. Flower plucker.
Love it. Doesn't help the roll.
I get my spell attack bonus, though, don't I? Mm-hmm. 15 to hit.
15 hits.
Yes!
Yeah!
Ha ha! Words can never hurt you. That's a lie. Oh, yeah. Two ones.
Oh, no.
Two.
I mean, it looks up. And it looks confused and a little hurt.
I feel like Juna sees Enkidu and is like, "Whoa, that was badass." And she's like, "I'm gonna really go for this," but she's a bit spell fatigued. Oh. She's just like, "I can't even find the words," and then just sort of is like, "Oh dear."
One of its teeth explodes in its mouth.
Yeah.
Filling pops out.
And you know, especially from all the slashing and stuff, you almost see like extra spurts of blood, but it's still going, this last head. Just. You got anything else?
I mean, I'm gonna fly in the direction that Guy said to go to.
Nice.
Thinking like someone else is gonna finish this off soon.
Yeah. Yeah, and with your 60, you can get like directly above Gaius on the other side of the lake.
Nice, thank you.
And then speaking of, Gaius, it's your turn.
He realizes the tactics have changed. He's realizing Gwen's okay, if not a little bit in a bit of a weird sort of. She's in a corpse.
Yes.
In the air, kind of.
Not in immediate danger.
She's not in immediate danger, so he's going to cast Shatter again, aiming at the final head, and he's going to hit a high note with his lute and try and see if he can pitch his voice at the same frequency. So so it's going to be a con save for you.
Okay. That is 23.
Yeah. Okay, so you'll get half of this. Okay, so I rolled two ones.
Oh my god, you did.
And a three, so that's a five full damage. So that's three damage.
To be fair, that is enough just to...
Tag team. Tag team, Juna.
And Kino did all the legwork, and then Guy and Juna are like, poke.
come on. Yeah, no, as you sort of sing this, like, this one note... You can almost see the vibration, like, just crunch in around its head. And then there is just a pop as, like, one of its eyes goes. Oh. And the whole head just, like, slumps down onto the bank.
Nice.
Nice. So it's the Hydra's turn.
Wait, what?
What?
Out of two of its necks.
Guys.
It's got more heads.
This is a thing with Hydra, isn't it?
It is a thing with Hydra.
I've seen Hercules, the Disney movie.
Yeah, we need to follow Guy's advice.
So there's like a rumbling, and like this black goo starts oozing out of its wounds, and from two of its stumps, four heads suddenly erupt.
Whoa! Excuse me.
Four per stump, or four in total?
Four in total. Okay. So two and two.
Still not good. Still not good.
Still more heads than they started with.
Yeah. So they're all going to make attacks.
Oh.
Two of them against Gwendolyn.
But they can't see me. I'm hidden in her head.
I mean, you know, they knew where you were. They were trying to eat you. So that is 22 and a 22 to hit.
Yeah, they hit.
Okie dokie. So the first one is going to do damage to you.
What type of damage?
Piercing and acid.
Okay.
So it does 5 piercing and 5 acid damage to you. And the second one is going to grapple you in its mouth again. Oh, so as the first one kind of snatches at you, it almost like throws you into the air, and the second one just like snatches you out of it into its mouth. The other two are going to go for Enkidu, who, you know, has done a fair amount of damage to it, so it's going to have a go back.
Understatement.
Which is a 26 and a 21 to hit.
The joke's on you, because both of those hit.
And unlike the other one that's trying to eat Gwendolyn, both of these are going to just latch onto your arms, just like scrape into you a bit. So the first one does 9 piercing and 5 acid, and the second one does 3 piercing and 5 acid damage. The acid like dripping from its fangs, and especially as these heads have just like burst free. You're just kind of being slobbered all over.
Great.
It's Gwendolyn's turn.
So I like to imagine that she's kind of had just crawled out of the neck hole of the previous head, and then it's just gone straight over. Shomp. And she's just like, ugh. But inspired by Enkidu's fighting with the scimitar and having trained with him, she doesn't have a sword herself, but she has been practicing with her umbrella as well in spare time.
Yeah.
So she's going to get out her umbrella and she is going to try and gouge it into the inside of its mouth.
Please do.
Please, can someone make fan art of this?
Okay. That is a... 26 to hit.
Ooh, 26 hits, yeah.
Ooh. Okay, lovely.
I love when you called on your deity of maths. Maths,
talk
answer.
To me.
What am I using for attack with my umbrella? Just like what I would, whatever, to make it a monk weapon, right? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, use it like a monk weapon.
Thanks, David. Ooh, that is a 9. 9 points of damage.
9 points of damage.
Okay, she has gouged it. She's going to pull it out and gouge again. And that is a 16 plus 7 to hit.
23.
Thank you.
That hits.
Yay. Okay, she does...
Ooh.
6 points of damage. No, 9 points of damage.
9 points of damage.
Yeah. And then as it's like stuck in there and it's given her good grip into the mouth, she's like slipping about a little less. She is then going to try and just like give it a good old kick in whichever bit looks tender and fleshy.
Nice.
And that is a 14 plus 7.
21.
21.
That hits.
Okay. And that is going to be 5 points of damage.
Oh, yeah. Beating it up inside the mouth. At least one tooth falls out.
Hell yeah. Does it fall, like, far away?
No, it's still in the mouth. Yeah.
Oh, she really wants that tooth.
Amazing.
Grace here, keeping you updated with all things No Small Roles related. Sadly, this is the last episode of the main campaign this year. Aww. Anyway, the good news is that we have some absolute corkers in the pipeline for 2024. Oh, the drama. It's been an incredibly exciting table to play at, and I cannot wait for these episodes to be out in the world because I need to talk to people about them. But in the meantime, we do have some fabulous bonus content coming your way this December, including a new episode of Superfan Chats, and we've decided to get festive with a Christmas one-shot run by Chris. A Christmas one-shot, because he's called Chris, and... well, at least I entertain myself. We hope you enjoy the standalone adventure of Festive Mayhem as much as myself, David, and Ben enjoyed making some rather interesting character choices. I shall leave it at that. We'll also be recording an episode of No Small Questions soon, so please do look out for us asking for your questions via the usual social media channels, and of course Discord. Who could forget Discord? And of course, don't forget, if you want to see us in person this festive season, we are actors and we are in shows, so A Christmas Carol, Tossed and Yippie-ki-yay are all happening, so check out our show notes for more info on all of those amazing shows. As always, we'd be super grateful if you would help others to find No Small Roles by taking a moment to rate and review us on iTunes and Podchaser. You can also rate us on Spotify. Your recommendations, whether it's out in the internet or just to dear friends and people that you meet that you think, do you know what, they'd really like this, really is one of the best ways to spread the word. That is enough from me for now. We've finally got the party back together, so let's get back to the Fake Mark 5.
It's then Orin's turn.
Okay, we're running, yeah? We getting out of here?
Yeah.
Oh, Gwendolyn has also shouted, I'm in a mouth again!
I can see that.
Damn it.
Fire seemed to be quite effective against it, didn't it?
Yeah, I'd say that you've noticed that the one head that had fire thrown against it, that mostly died from being burnt up, has not been regenerated.
Interesting.
It's the other two that had a bit of time not being burnt.
Interesting. And so how many heads are there currently, please?
4 heads.
And one is currently gripping Gwendolyn?
Yep.
And the other 3 are currently not gripping Gwendolyn?
Yeah, one of them is sort of nibbing at the mouth that Gwendolyn is in, because it also wants to eat her. And the other two are focused on Enkidu.
If, say, I had an area effect type spell...
Oh, yeah.
Is there a way that I could get the 3 heads, not including the one that's... Because I'm assuming if I had an area of effect type spell that hit the one that Gwendolyn's being held by, that's bad for Gwendolyn. But can I sort of aim something that had like a spherical sort of effect on the other 3 heads?
I would say if you were to aim it lower down the body, you could hit the necks and not the heads.
Let's do that then.
So like basically in an attempt to prevent Gwendolyn from being caught in it. Yeah, you think if you hit more like the core of where all of these necks are coming from.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Orin will tune up his blowtorch. And having learnt from the run-in we had in the manor Chargate Hall the other day, he will cast a fireball.
Yes!
Wait. Is this the first fireball of the party?
This is the party's first fireball. Yeah. No, can I borrow lots of
D6s? Absolutely.
They've got to make a... I don't know if they all make it separately or... Woo, there we go.
Baby's first fireball.
So DC's 17 dex saving throw, please.
Oh, okay, dex saving throw.
That's a merchandise right there.
I rolled a natural 1 for the deck save.
That would be a fail.
Let's go. Let's go.
15, 17, 29 points of fire damage.
29 points of fire damage. Beautiful. And I will say with that natural 1, as this fireball like erupts around its core, it is going to cough and spit Gwendolyn out onto the bank. As the penalty for the natural 1 there.
As a reaction, can I try and grab the loose tooth?
Yeah. I'll let you take it.
Yeah, you just let me take it without even... Great.
Yeah, just like, because you know, you've been like, you know, grabbing the teeth and like punching about, and you're just like, as you've gone, almost like gone to pick it up to like use it against it, it's just then spat you out, so you're like, you've got to hold.
Yeah. And then I'm going to say, yeah, we're getting away from this thing, yeah? And start flying. I'm not going to fly super far away because I don't know what's going to happen. But I'll fly like 20 foot in the direction that I think Guy indicated earlier. Just so I'm sort of starting to make my way away from it.
Nice. And like all of it staying very much above.
Oh, yeah.
Out of reach.
Yeah. And also 20 foot up in the air still. Yeah, yeah. And then 20 foot away from the creature.
Very cool. It is Enkidu's turn.
I am locked into combat
David,
with 2 mouths.
Oh, David, Ben, I have to roll a d8 and add it. Another 6 fire damage. Sorry, sorry. Okay, I need to remember to do that.
Oh my gosh. Arcane fire up.
Arcane fire up.
Right.
I add a d8 to every attack. If I don't add a d8, can someone shout at me every turn, please? Yes.
I'm locked in combat with 2 heads, aren't I?
Yep.
Scimitar was slashed twice into the one on my left.
Mm-hmm.
It's 11.
Yeah, that doesn't hit.
Second attack definitely misses.
Oh no. Yeah, having landed and been like, okay, I've just done a fucking cool year, look at me, like, done the damage, you've then, like, you know, stood up to then suddenly be like, more heads. Like, the sudden flail of like, oh, this is not what I was expecting.
Exactly. I still got bonus action, two weapon fighting, used the left hand sword. Worse.
Oh, no. So yeah, you just spend the last whole turn kind of like batting off these teeth as they're all like snapping at you.
Yeah. 3, 5, and 4
is Juna's turn. Juna, you are 60 feet away from.
And Keenan, that doesn't look like running away.
I'm busy.
What are you doing, Juna?
Are we still running away?
I think so.
I mean, I thought we were.
I'm stuck, but I'll catch up maybe.
Still no.
Is what she's saying to running her away.
I think she's gonna send Ruana to be helpful to Enkidu. Enkidu, we need to go.
All right, I'll figure something out.
And he's like besieged on all sides.
And I'm sort of in line with Guy in the direction that we're going, right?
Yeah, you and Gaius are on the other side of the lake. You're just like 20 feet in the air above him.
Yeah, I think I don't want to go any further because I'm not sure that what's going to happen with Enkidu.
Juna, do you think you can drop me off near where Enkidu is?
Yeah.
Do it.
I mean, I'm assuming I can, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to fly down and get Guy.
Nice.
And fly him over to Enkidu.
Cool. So yeah, with your 60 feet, 20 feet down to Gaius, sort of like at a diagonal, you're kind of like halfway across the lake, 30 feet across, I'll say.
Can I, is that good enough to drop?
Enkidu's probably about another 30 feet off, but you're on your way.
Can I dash whilst I'm flying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, then I'll do that.
Nice.
Amazing.
Nice. So,
yeah. I'm here if you need me.
You get almost like directly above Enkidu. And I'm assuming, rather than like getting too close to the hydras, because you can see all these heads are nipping about. Like,
oh yeah, get me up high, baby.
And then you drop Gaius.
Chris just like made a sort of I'm a rock star kind of a vibe.
Let's do it, man.
So, yeah,
let's do it.
Good luck.
So let's go. Okay, so you do take fall damage as you collide with Enkidu.
Yeah, just to let you know, there's two things happening as I'm falling. One is that I'm going to proclaim out loud, you caught us by surprise, but this will not lead to our demise. Yeah.
You are falling through the air.
I am.
Give benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fine. And then with what I'm doing with that, I'm doing my class feature of Bend the Truth. So that's going to imbue words with this with magic, and I will direct it towards the creature, probably the nearest head, towards Gwendolyn, granting them disadvantage on the next attack. As I hit Enkidu, I'm going to cast Dimension Door as well.
What?
And pull him through, and we're going to be about 150 meters down on the other side of the lake.
Nice.
Hell yeah!
I'll say you take 18 bludgeoning damage as
my skull just smashes into him.
Yeah, and Kidi, you only take 2.
Okay.
But literally at the point that Gaius collides with you.
Okay.
Two of you just suddenly like disappear.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That is so cool.
Nice save.
And yeah, you find yourselves back in the direction you were heading. And
right.
Originally, before all this fight began, in a nice safe spot, rolling into the mud.
Yeah, sorry. No, that was a great save. Cheers.
Had to think of the fly.
Never change.
It is then the Hydra's turn.
Oh no, stupid Hydra.
First of all, one of them is going to go for Ruana because she is
still there
in the space, but that was a natural one because she's very small. Then the other three, are you? You're not in anybody's mouth at the moment.
Not in anybody's mouth at the moment, but I'm nearby.
Wait,
disadvantage.
Oh. Amazing. Yes.
Oh,
so that was 17. Does that hit you?
That hit.
Oh.
Okay.
High rolls.
No small rolls here.
No. And then I rolled an 18 and a 19, and I've got +9. So
+9. So low. Sorry.
Yeah, you're right. I should just roll much higher and make a crit. Right? Thanks, Ben. Good point. No. So you take in total
from these three heads suddenly like grabbing at you, trying to bite at you. And all of them are just more intent on doing damage at this point. 16 points of piercing damage and 15 points of acid damage from these three attacks.
Whoa.
How's Gwen looking?
Good lord.
So that's 31 total.
Okay, you still up?
Yeah.
Good, good, good. It is then your turn.
It is my turn.
As all four of these Hydra heads, with nobody else to focus on at this point, are starting to like rear up and look at... And again, it's that beautiful moment from Hercules where Hercules is like all of the Hydra heads suddenly like are popping up in front of him. It's very much you on the bank, all of these heads in front of you.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to try and distract them by throwing my rose fan at them. My first attack. It does not hit. Let's see what my second attack does. So that's 23.
23 hits.
Okay. 7 points of damage.
Nice.
And then...
And with that 7 points, like you slice through one of the newer heads and it goes limp and kind of like flops about, flails for another and bashes into another one and then collapses on the bank beside
you. Okay. Hoping they're kind of distracted by that, I'm going to start running away.
Amazing. Are you going to use any key points to...
Oh, shit. Yeah, I can do that. That's a thing I have.
Do that monk thing where they can
disengage as a bonus action. What?
Monks can run faster than a horse.
No, but I also can probably disengage. Disengage so that I don't get a...
45,
yeah.
Doubled, yeah, and step of the wind.
It's actually 50 would be doubled.
There we go. Still faster than a horse,
it's
right?
It's 50, actually, Enkidu. Yeah, it's 50.
Enkidu, you're not paying attention.
All in one key point, mm-hmm, as my bonus action.
Yeah.
I can step of the wind and both, so I can disengage and I jump the distance. It's double for my turn. So I'm going to disengage and travel 100 feet. Away from the Hydra.
I don't think it lets you jump 100 feet. It lets you jump your jump distance. Your jump distance
and
is not...
Give me 2 seconds. I'm just pulling up jumping.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't know what jump
I don't know what your jump speed is. I've got no idea.
I don't know what jump speed is because if it's more
no one ever uses it, let's be honest. I don't know what your jump speed
is. If I can get further than I can just my normal.
It'll be less than your normal.
The distance you can jump with a running start is equal to your strength score. So if you... Yeah.
Nope.
Obscure D&D rules.
That is. Okay, well, I'm going to disengage and I'll just travel 50 feet.
Yeah, that still counts.
Yeah.
I'll say you do like a running jump as well, just to make sure that you're...
Just like a little hopscotch.
A little hop, you know, just for the funsies.
Whee!
Just for that crouching tiger, hidden dragon moment.
Yeah, yeah, something that looks cool.
Yeah. So yeah, you do. You disengage, like, almost like dart through the heads to get across the water, land on the other side and carry on for a few more paces. Who is still nearby the Hydras?
Me.
Juno?
Yeah. You're both kind of in the air, though, aren't you?
Yeah, we're in the air.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So we'll drop out of... Unless you really want to stay in combat, you two flyers.
No, I'm fine.
No.
No.
I'm fine to leave.
Cool. Yeah, so this... these sort of yellow-bellied, black-scaled... Hydra heads all start snapping up into the air at you, but as you sort of fly further away from the lake and everybody kind of runs into the forest back in the direction you were traveling, you realize it does reach the edge of the water and the heads don't come much further out than that. They like start snapping at the trees, but with everybody sort of disappearing amongst them, they do not pursue.
Gaius runs up to Auron and gives him a big old hug.
Oh. Yeah,
I float down to the floor.
He's like jumping.
Juno starts hugging him as he's floating down.
Massive cuddle pile on Auron.
Mm.
Oh, it's good to see you all.
It's so good to see you again.
How did you get back? How did you get away?
Where have you been?
Did she send you back? Like, she kept her word. I take it.
Yeah. No, she sent me back. It's been an interesting few days.
DM, are we safe where we are?
I'll say that all of you are still kind of moving. You've sort of like piled on Auron, but like you're still pulling him along.
As we're traveling, Gwendolyn is very much, she's so excited to see Auron, but she's also keeping very much an eye on what is around them, what dangers could be around. So
make a perception check. Okay, yeah, thank just you.
Can I give a bardic inspiration?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh.
What's your bardic inspiration these days?
I'm going to play with a flute.
Oh, what's the die?
She meant mechanically. That was beautiful,
but
Chris.
I
that
was lovely. I didn't want to be like, oh my God.
I see.
So I meant that. No, sorry. But it's a beautiful flute. I love it.
Like, let me just roll my flute over here.
Is it the one that makes you sleepy?
Oh, which one's my flute die? Oh,
gosh, yeah.
It's a
D10. Oh, no. Is that one up? Abraca lad.
Yeah, Abraca lad.
D10, baby.
Okay, so.
Abraca flute lad.
You'll only Abraca ever roll bald. Ones or twos with it.
Okay, that's a non-natural 20.
Yeah.
Exception. Thank nice. You very much for that lovely bit of inspiration on your flute.
Boom, baby.
I'll say that as you're walking, there's one point that there are some spidery type creatures that seem to have too many legs crawling up and down one tree. And you just,
wonderful.
Without really alerting anyone else, you navigate everyone around
just
it.
Just move away. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Squelch through the mud.
Yeah. Gross.
Start at the beginning, Oren. Yeah. What happened after we left?
I wasn't fully in control because she was still inside. She came out. She was really apologetic, and I think she meant it. And then I heard from you.
Yeah?
Juna. Long story short, basically, I kind of agreed to help her out for a little bit. She needed a body, you see. And, I mean, it also meant I got to do some cool magic through her, from what I remember of it, which admittedly is not a huge amount. Okay, quite a lot of it is hazy. Aggie remembers a bit more than me. When she took me over, it's a bit more like maybe, I don't know what it's like when you've been taken over in Kingdom, but I wasn't really always aware of what was going on outside.
Yeah, that's very similar.
Okay, yeah, I thought it might be. Orin also then just gives Enkidu a little look while he remembers a conversation that he had with Petra. And goes,
oh gosh.
Notes something away to discuss with Enkidu later. So I wasn't always aware of what was going on, but I've been to so many places. I went back to the Woden Isles.
Oh,
did you?
Yeah. I went back to the Woden Isles. I've met Beryon.
Excuse me.
I've been in Mervai. I've been in the palace.
Oh no.
Of course you've been to Mervai. You met my mother?
Have I?
the orcish lady with the mohawk in Mervai.
With the special lapel.
That's that description.
That's a very good description of Sigrid.
My mother?
Yep. I've met your mother.
Wait, we should make a TV show about that.
How did you meet my mother?
Oh my gosh.
Okay, that's your mum?
Yes.
Cool.
You don't seem...
No, I've made some bargains and deals with her. That's right. Probably good that's your mum.
Okay.
Good.
When we're feeling safer, I would love to hear more.
Okay. No, that's probably fine. Gwen, I've got something for you.
Oh.
And Orin rustles in his pocket and pulls out a letter. Are we in a position for Gwen to read currently, or shall I just give it to her to read later?
Yeah. Like, Gwendolyn's fairly happy that everywhere is safe, and like, as you're travelling through, there are moments that you can stop and breathe.
Spill the tea.
Spill the Twain Tide, spill the Twain Tide.
Where did you... get this.
We're from Dwayne.
Oh, right.
Oh, my gosh.
He sends his love to everyone.
Wow.
Jeez, Louise, where have you not been?
I have speed run the campaign.
Oh, my gosh.
Gwendolyn, kind of, as she's kind of like deciding whether she's going to open it, looks to Gaius like, keep an eye out.
Well, do. And yeah, he'll keep an eye out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, she's going to read it to herself at first, but for the good of our listeners, mm-hmm. I shall read it out loud.
Yes.
My dearest Gwendolyn, apologies for the brevity of this message,
but time is short. A very flirtatious ghost is about to whisk your friend Orin away, and I've just managed to snatch a pen and some parchment for my dragon horse.
Orin? Is that how you spell it? I confess, I've never read any of their names. Oh, wait a minute. That's just from Jeremy, isn't it?
No, I think that might be from Dwayne, to be fair.
What did you
because
think?
Dwayne had also forgotten my name.
Perfect.
Orin? O-R-I-N? Is that how you spell it? I confess I've never read any of their names. I'll begin by giving you some facts about me. My birth name is Dontavian, and I'm a dragon.
Gwendolyn gasps as you see her reading this by herself.
I apologize for keeping that information from you. It was less about keeping me safe physically and more about running from pain I'd never addressed until now. I'll give you more details about myself when next we meet. I apologize for lying to you, for abandoning you, for lying to you again, for abandoning you again, and for anything else I've done to cause you harm. I promise I'll never lie to you or anyone again. I know my behavior hasn't shown it, but I truly care about you. And I'm terribly proud of how powerful and independent you've become over these months. If you're willing, next time we meet, I'd like to talk about us. Till then, toodaloo and stay safe. Enjoy the spooky forest. Yours lovingly and hurriedly, Dontavian Dwayne Fabulosa. P.S. Love what you've done with your hair. It really suits you.
And Gwendolyn, having read this to herself, is kind of reading over the bit about being a dragon again and again. And even though that's what they had suspicions about, actually seeing it written down on paper is such like a, whoa, okay, right. That was good, I think. Yeah, she just takes a breath. She doesn't seem like sad or angry or happy. She just seems kind of devoid of emotion. She just looks blank just to hear from him. And she takes a seat and she takes a breath and she hands the letter over to Juna. Feel free to read it. You can all read it.
Cool, look at this. He spelt my name completely wrong.
But it's like she watches the party read the letter as well. I think she is keen to get it back.
Dilly, you're right, you look a bit peaky. Is it the Hydra blood and saliva? Let me get that.
Oh.
Press the digitator. Close, clean.
Oh, yes.
His guts off you.
Yes, lots of Hydra guts all over me. I got you something in Kidu on my way out. And she hands him the Hydra tooth.
Oh.
Just say thank you for saving my life.
Thanks. Looking forward to making a use of out of this.
I hope you can.
Thanks. Appreciate it. I attach it to my belt or something. I don't know where it goes. It's pretty big.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I'll make a horn out of it.
Oh.
Yeah. Make a killer earring.
No, right? The Dravanian drip. Let's go.
So, Orin, you saw Dwayne.
Oh, yeah. I saw. Yeah, that's the least of it. Yeah, I saw Dwayne.
Where?
Ayland.
Oh.
University Ayland. In Ayland. Yeah, I was in Ayland.
Where in Ayland?
A university somewhere. I don't know exactly. Do I know exactly where?
No.
No. Somewhere in Ayland. We jumped around a lot. Right. Yeah. Somewhere.
Okay.
He looks a bit like a dragon now. He looks more like a dragon than when we saw him last.
Okay.
He's kind of got scaly eyes.
Does that match the description of Dwayne when we scryed on him?
Yeah.
And he was somewhere with bookcases, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, with like Ailish, like architecture. Yeah.
So it's fair to assume that he was at that university that Oren's talking about when we scryed on him.
Exactly.
There are mountains in the background, he said.
To be honest, I cannot remember.
I've not ever written that down.
So he could be near the capital, because the capital is backed into mountain.
Can you recollect at all, like, why Petra took you, or, like, you know, what was she trying to
and
achieve?
And where is she now? Is she still inside your body?
Oh, no. She's with Dwayne. Don't know if Dwayne's delighted by that, but anyway.
As in she's in Dwayne's body?
I wouldn't like to say.
Wow.
There's so much potential.
I mean,
she
can imagine
she had
him liking an alchemist inside him.
Inside checking whether
she had to use a body to send me here. So she had to go into Dwayne's body to send me here. I'm sure she left immediately afterwards.
David, am I aroused by this?
Yes.
That feels like a Chris decision.
I,
I think, sure.
We did slightly square on you all to try and figure out where you were, which is why Orin references the letter. He probably knows what we all look like now. There's a few other bits. I feel like I should point out there might be a coup occurring in the palace.
What?
I feel like I shouldn't leave that. Not quite sure what's going on over there at the moment, but Petrogranius, the not real Petrogranius, was there and
Chargelt Petrogranius.
And we were in the palace, and I don't know what's going on there, but I don't think it's good. Just so we know,
Sigrid's involvement. How is she doing?
Oh no, she seems fine.
Okay.
She's good. Did you talk to her or?
We scryed on Sigrid to see where Gwen's mum could be, and in scrying on her arriving at the palace, we saw you and Petra. I then sent Petra ascending. She wasn't very pleased.
I think I felt that. Yeah. Yeah, that got blocked, I think. Did it? Or did she reply? No, I don't know.
She replied, okay. I'm in the middle of something, leave me alone, basically.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fair enough. Yeah, I felt
but
like
it was good
something
to see you.
Coming in. Oh, yeah. No. She seems good. We had a meeting with her.
What's she like?
A bit like Casula.
Oh, great.
Whoa, hang on.
Daddy's got a type.
Yeah, that's what Gwendolyn's thinking.
Hey, how do you mean by, and he looks at Gwendolyn and goes, it's all right, never mind.
But she's an ambassador.
From Orkesh?
Yeah, from Orkesh. And
Orkesh, sorry.
It's the accent.
My thick Aeland accent. You guys say water really weird.
Water.
Water. Sorry, wrong place.
And she told me a bit about Henges. She doesn't know a huge amount, though.
Really? Like, as in, like, does she have an idea about what's going on? Did you tell her about the lake and about what was believed?
I didn't know who she was, so I wasn't sure how much to say.
No,
and I didn't want to bring you up, Deli, because I felt like last time we spoke about that, there was a whole big thing about don't mention your name to anyone from Orkosh, or you've been using your name, but you shouldn't be using that name with anyone from Orkosh thing. So I thought I brought up Juna, but I didn't mention your name.
That's all right. I already messed that up with some other people from Orkosh.
You
did mess
been
away.
It up. It's led to some more knowledge.
Yes.
Okay. There wasn't a talking spider, was there?
I think the keeping Gwen's name secret train has left the station.
Okay.
Talking spider?
Oh, you know that talking spider that attacked you in the woods?
Are you sure it was the spider that was talking?
Talking.
Boots.
Boots the talking
spider. The talking spider, sure.
I mean, it was dark. It was hard to tell. Maybe
yeah, it's talking
it was
spider.
Talking spider. You met the bounty hunter then?
No. Sorry, no, that was...
Ben being a meme lord for a second?
No, just your mum, as it turns out, Sigrid.
My mum was the bounty hunter.
No, sorry, the bounty hunter's not involved, sorry.
Oh, okay.
No, sorry. I just meant people hunting you down to try and find you is all I meant. That's why I brought up the bounty hunter.
No, it wasn't quite...
But she's an ambassador.
She's an Orkosian ambassador.
So that means she's come to Dravain with terms and... conditions and negotiations.
I'm
going to
be honest,
right?
She was in a bit of a rush, so I don't really know what she was doing there.
But you were saying there was a coup, so I'm assuming as an ambassador, she was
she wasn't involved in that.
No way.
That was just afterwards, after we'd seen her.
Who conducted the coup? Was it successful?
I don't know if it's actually a coup, but Petrogranius Chargelt is definitely pulling strings in the throne room.
In the throne room?
Yeah.
And like who Varian? Was it against the steward?
The steward was there, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
But they were on this. They looked to be friends.
Yeah,
with Petra. Chargelt. Yeah,
Chargelt and the steward seemed to be friends. They didn't like us turning up in the throne room at all.
So you popped up into the throne room. You didn't just walk in. You teleported into the throne room.
And when you say us, it's you and Petra, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, Petra, I was just being controlled by Petra.
Cool.
How did we get in the throne room, David?
She was trying to leave.
She walked through a wall, didn't she?
Somebody had seen her, so she went a different way and just walked through the wrong door.
Yeah. Oh, she walked through the wrong door. But she can also, she also walked through a wall at one point, didn't she?
Oh, yeah, to get into the palace.
Yeah. She can also walk through walls. But at that point, she walked through a door into the throne room. She took a bit of a wrong turning. Petra was in there with the stewards.
Petra Chargelt.
They seem to be buddy-buddy. Earlier on, we'd met Beryon. That was probably a few days before. Time gets a bit weird because I wasn't really in my body. And we'd sort of told Beryon about Chargelt. And
okay,
Beryon is maybe trying to, or said he was going to try and deal with the Chargelt issue. So Beryon knows about Chargelt. Not my doing, should point out. Not my doing. And then we just popped up there. I wasn't aware of anything that was going on. I then told, once we left there, I then sort of explained the issue with Beryon to Petra, our Petra. But I think the cat was out the bag a bit already by that point. And yeah, so maybe not a coup. Coup's a strong word, but the Chargelt is in with the stewards and...
Do you know what the objective of this, like, you call it a coup? How do you know it was
no,
a coup?
No, I'm a coup. No, coup's maybe not.
So like a secret meeting.
Yeah.
Like a sort of takeover from behind the scenes.
Well, I don't know.
All right, it's okay. Don't worry. You've experienced a great deal.
I'm going to be honest, I was getting attacked by some pretty high level magic at the time.
Oh, right.
I'm fine now. That's kind of why we went to the Woden Isles and then Aeland. I wasn't fine at the time. So I didn't really see much, but Chargelt has definitely got the ear of the stewards, and yeah.
That's okay. I mean, like, Jarella is effectively running the kingdom as the steward. So a member of the High Circle speaking to her in person isn't totally weird.
Okay, yep.
Right? Why she made that journey all the way there?
Don't know.
That's a question.
Why is she so trigger happy if someone wanders in through a door?
I mean... It's the throne room, of course. That's understandable. Security breach, you know. This is places I know very well. I'm just trying to... I don't want to alarm you too much. Now, you didn't get any hint of their conversation?
No, I really didn't remember anything from that room.
So you just walked in, saw them talking, and they opened fire, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Now...
At this point, Juna is just going to give Orin a really big hug.
Yeah.
Now, I think he really, really needs just some... Some love.
Orin, this is a lot. I know we've asked you a lot of questions. You've just jumped back and we've all been under attack. I'll ask one last question. Leave it to you. Just tell me when you want to stop. Now, how and why did you meet Beryon?
Okay, so our Petra was trying to get... She was trying to pull on some of her contacts. Basically, most of... she doesn't know anyone unless they've been around from 40-odd years ago.
Makes sense.
So she got in touch with one of her old contacts, Waylon Delavaux, and
relative of Miss Tula Delavaux.
Well, that's what I assumed. Yeah. So I did explain about Gus. I don't know if that was useful information, but I tried. But Waylon is an old friend of hers, going back from when she was younger, and Waylon seemingly introduced her to Lord Beryon. She didn't know Beryon from before. I think she felt it was going to be a useful contact for her to try and, she needs to get her body back and she needs to try and stop Chargelt. And she needed allies and I guess she thought Beryon could be a useful ally being part of the Lord's Assembly to sort of, make moves with the Arcanist Consortium and try and make some progress in getting her body back and stopping Chargelt.
And how'd that go?
Well, I think we sort of left Beryon to decide what he was going to try and do, but he sounded like he was on side.
Okay.
That's...
I might have then slightly aggravated him, but that's fine.
That is fine. He's done terrible things.
Well, like... that's what I said. Yeah. It was clear... Probably to him, I wasn't his biggest fan.
Yes. I mean, I'm sure Petra was willing to, like, be okay with that, I assume.
Yeah, we'd sort of already had the whole conversation with Beryn before I explained, so...
Right.
Yeah, but Beryn sounded like he was gonna, at least that's what he said, that he was gonna try and help her. Obviously, I don't think he wants the Lord's Assembly going against the Arcanist Consortium in a, you know, showdown or anything, so I don't know what progress he's gonna make.
Were you able to suggest Tymon Prethys as a ally to Petra at all?
It came up in conversation with Beryn.
With Beryn?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That can't have gone well.
No.
Is that why he was aggravated at
the end?
I mean, they're rivals to the throne.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And Tymon is actually a decent human being.
Yeah.
There's a lot happening
around Dravain at the moment. I'm really full.
Yeah, let's find somewhere to rest for a second. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty took it out myself.
I think this is where Juno lets go of Oren.
Thank you. Oren will let go of the hug.
Yeah.
Slowly.
And you're all right, Oren?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, we had a bit of time off in Aeland. And I saw the Woudenols.
How was that?
Cold. I didn't see home, though. I just saw Lyrden's downfall, Glowing Isle. So, but it was nice to see home, even if briefly.
Aww.
I'm glad to hear that.
Did you say, Kida doesn't know that name, Lyrden's downfall?
Oh, yeah, it's an island off.
All right, cool.
If anyone was listening in the Woden Isles Adventures, they've heard of that place.
just caught that name for the first, second time. I'm like, okay, cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was fun. But yeah, it's been quite a few days. What on earth have you been up to?
David, just as we're saying this, have we reached like a crest of a hill or somewhere we can have a rest?
Yeah. As you sort of all... The land around you is getting more sparse between the trees, less muddy, a little bit rockier. But as you sort of gather to a point that you think, let's actually just sit for a moment, Oren asks his question. And that's where we're going to end the episode.
Oren!
That's a lot.
Yeah. It was a packed episode.
That was...
Wow. Yep. I can't wait to hear it.
A lot of action, a lot of information.
Yeah. Oren's information is slightly patchy because he was only
possessed.
Slightly in control.
Mm.
I feel like coup is probably the wrong word for what we're going to get.
It's the best word he knew.
It was dramatic. Right. Big old kerfuffle in the throne room.
You have been listening to David Knight as your Dungeon Master, Ben Galpin as Oren, Chris Watts as Gaius, Daryl Bailey as Enkidu, Grace Kelly Miller as Gwendolyn, and Vicky Gaskin as Juna. Original music by David Knight. Please tell your friends, subscribe, and follow us on all the social media. Thank you for listening to No Small Roles. Anon for now.
Anon!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.